You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's go!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Down with the King for years, about 10 of them.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous podcast, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports show, produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton. Got a big show for you guys and girls this week. It's been a while since we put out an official full-length episode of the podcast, so it's good to be back. But I am joined by this mysterious light-skinned stranger on the other end of the line. I'm trying to figure out, is that El DeBarge Jr.? Or, I know Chico ain't. Chico's still locked up, so it can't be Chico.
Or could it be?
Or could it be? But no, of course, that voice you hear is my tag team partner here on the Kings of Sport. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. The newly crowned King of Zamunda. I'm mixing up my black shit. I was even gonna go Wakanda, Zamunda, Africa with the Lion King, but it's, you get where
Compton.
I'm going here.
Yeah,
Compton, Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. The man from Southern California, new father, Marcus Mimosas Vandenberg. How you doing, brother?
Nate, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, my friend. It has been a minute since we have talked, at least talked on a microphone. You know, we kept in contact during, you know, the birth of young Simba. And if I edited it correctly, there should be a Lion King sound in the background when this comes out. But yeah, it's been a minute since we've talked on the mics and since the people have heard your voice here on the show.
The last time we talked, the Chicago Cubs were relevant, so it's been a while. Hey, Jermaine.
Yeah, probably. I was going to say, it's probably the last time Jermaine listened as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, basically what we're going to do this week, we got a big story to talk about in segment four. It's almost fitting. It's almost like we planned it this way, that we would have an explosive segment four story for Marcus to return on. But in the A block, you know, we're going to just talk with Marcus a bit about his experience over the past month or so and sprinkle in some sports here and there. But mainly we just want to see how you doing, Marcus, how the family's doing. And so I guess you can, you know, feel free to divulge as much or as little as you want about the birth of young Simba and how that experience was for you.
Yes. So my son was born on September 3rd and was a healthy birth. He's a small guy. He was a little undersized, a little underweight. He was probably a couple weeks early, but mom and baby are doing well. And yeah, it's been 3.5 weeks now. And I will say parenting is, it's harder than I thought. It's very it's very humbling. It's very defeating at times. It's definitely very tiring. But I mean, it's worth it. Definitely worth it. But I think when you talk to other dads, they always tell you, oh, well, you know, get ready for the lack of sleep and stuff. But they don't really go into detail of just sort of like what it's like. How does it feel when you have a 2-week-old just yelling in your face, the top of their lungs, and you're just sitting there like, what do you do? And there is no sort of manual. There's no correct answer, really. My wife sort of described it as like a puzzle. You're sort of trying to figure out different pieces and how it all fits. And personally, I hate puzzles. So I think, you know, a lot of this is challenging for me because I'm sort of very much like, all right, give me the instructions or, you know, give me the steps to follow. But when you're sort of forced to think outside the box and try different things, that's where it's been hard for me. But yeah, they're doing well. He'll be 1 month next Thursday, so October 3rd, which has been fast, but also it's been slow in the sense of like the late nights and, you know, lots of sleep. But, it's been good to sort of spend this time at home and not have to worry about work and sort of focus on him and my wife. So, yeah, glad to be back on the show though. I'm now at the point where it's been 3.5 weeks where we have a bit of a routine in terms of when he eats and when he sleeps. And so trying to get back into my normal life.
So you've been keeping those waiting Nate Milton hours just up at 2 a.m. for no reason.
Yeah, the last few nights I've been doing the 3 a.m. feedings, and by the time he eats, burps, you change a diaper, he goes back to sleep, it's like 4:30, and he's eating every 3 hours, so it's at that point you're like, well, I'll just stay up and wait till 6 a.m. So I've been up at odd hours and sort of sending random tweets at, you know, sort of my observations of parenthood, but I was hoping to have all this time in the evenings and morning to like watch TV and sort of catch up on stuff, but I haven't reached the point yet where I can juggle him and also like focusing on television. So maybe one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know when you got an infant, Marcus, you know, you can't watch all the AEW, you know, you got to put Cody on pause so you can feed your baby.
Yes. It's priorities, priorities.
So I think, I don't know if because, you know, obviously I'm not a father, but I hear, you know, when you get inducted into the Father's Club, you get a choice of songs for Father's Day because there's only two. There's the Black Men United, You Will Know, and there's Papa Was a Rolling Stone. And so I find it quite ironic that your son was born on the 3rd of September. The day you'll always remember.
That's unfortunate.
It really is. But I mean, it's funny because, you know, you posted on particularly on Instagram. I don't know too much on Facebook, but you've been doing a lot of Instagram stories.
Yeah. So we've, okay, we'll peel back the curtain here. We have not announced it on Facebook yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's so right, you've been viewing right. Like the I've just created a group on Instagram of people I like, and they've been able to sort of to view photos. But because we were in the hospital longer than we expected, we didn't want to announce it, and then people sort of like hit us
right,
up,
right,
and, you know. And then we got home, and then, you know, once you get home, you're trying to figure out what to do. So then we decided, well, since his 1 month is next Thursday, we'll just wait until then and announce it and get it out the way. But so yeah,
he's going to have a CPT debut.
He will. He has an Instagram, though, but we've kept it off Facebook.
Yeah, because I saw the stories that Marcus had posted on Instagram to the group, and yeah, it's just like you can tell that's Marcus's baby. Ain't no denying it. No need for a DNA test.
Yeah, he looks like me. The nurses were coming in, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you're the dad." And I feel bad. I mean, you know, my wife did all this work. She for 9 months. She birthed this kid, and then it comes out looking just like me. He's even lighter than me, which is I mean, my wife is darker than me, so I don't know what happened there. But
those dominant light skin genes. The good hair is strong.
Good hair is strong. Came out with good set of hair. He's getting a little darker though, so maybe, you know, by the time he's he's fully developed. He'll be at least my skin color. But yeah, he he's mine. I can't deny him.
And I know it's only been a month, but has having a son changed the way you look at other things in your life, Marcus? You know, the way you kind of look at the world, and has your perspective changed now that you have to take care of somebody who can't take care of themselves?
In a worldly sense, no. Like, when I see Trump news, I still, you know, he's still fucking up. Like, that hasn't changed. I do appreciate sort of downtime more. So, like, for example, we're recording this on Saturday. My mother-in-law is here for a few days, and we had to go check on the house. And after that, we went to brunch. And, like, sort of that downtime away from the kid, I do appreciate that time more. I won't lie. You know, if I have time to, like, sit down and watch one game, like, I do appreciate that more. I think before him, I sort of took it for granted because I could always say, oh, you know, it's part of the job or whatever. But yeah. Sort of getting like 3 hours sort of to yourself to do something, I do value that more. But in terms of like how I view the world or sort of view the world through his eyes, because he's been so young, because he hasn't really been out there, he's been in the house outside of appointments, that hasn't really kicked in yet.
Okay, yeah, it'll be interesting to see the more he grows, how that changes you and how that changes your wife and you know, I wonder will the pettiness be passed on? Because we've already seen, well, the people in the group have already seen that your son has developed the Vandenberg side eye at a young age.
His mannerisms and his face. He's got, for a 3-week-old, he has a bunch of personality. He's got some really distinct faces and looks. Even when you're like trying to burp him, he'll look at you like, "What are you doing?" And he's got that down. So he's a very alert. He's from day one. He was very alert. He was someone who, if he heard a voice or recognized a voice, he would look and sort of try to figure out where it was coming from. So in that sense, I think he's going to be very sharp and sort of very in tune of what's going on once he can figure out, once he can actually see. I mean, at this point, you 3 weeks, you can't really see humans. You can see like colors, but you can't make out what you're
just
seeing
blobs.
Exactly. It's just blobs of you know, black and white. So he's going to be interesting.
Well, at least we know he's already got a job lined up. Him and Max Pollock will be hosting their own podcast in 10 years.
I heard that. What did you name it? I forgot what was Max's show.
Talking Smack with Max.
Yes, Talking Smack with Max. John should probably trademark that now. Get the Twitter and Instagram locked up.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to get Pollock on here. Before the end of the year, so you can maybe he can impart some fatherly wisdom to you.
Yeah, because Matt's is now 2. Yeah, which is, I mean, that's really fast. It feels like that was yesterday when John made that announcement.
Yeah, because it would have been right before they left Fight Network, or a little before that.
It was before. It was 2017. It was. So they left Fight Network in fall.
Because Post's been around for like a year and year and some change.
Yeah. Yeah, Post will be 2 years, what, Christmas, right? That was a Christmas launch.
Christmas, yeah. Yep. So yeah, so they had Max about 6 months before they left Fight Network. So yeah, it's crazy. Like I got a notice on my Facebook. You know how they do the this happened 3 years ago or 5 years ago, whatever. I just got one the other day. From the picture when I was at the TSN studio with Mouth and Agnew and all them, and it was like 6 years ago today. I was like, "What the?" It doesn't even feel like 6 years has passed.
Was that the Lawler episode or something else?
That was the same week. That was the Law that Sunday night, and then Lawler happened the next night.
Okay.
When we did the review of Raw.
Lawler was 9/11, so September 10th then.
Yep.
Of 2012.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. Yeah, because that would have been the year that we launched the show.
Or was it 2013?
Yeah, it was 2013, because it was 6 years ago.
Yes, 2013.
Yeah, 2013. Yeah. So, yeah, that was the same year we launched the show.
Yeah.
That was in the dark ages of the show, if you will.
Very dark. Very purple. suited and booted ages of the show.
Yes.
My wife asked me the other day, "Oh, what happened to your co-host?"
Oh,
and
shit.
I was like, "Yeah," I was like, "You tell me. I don't know." Like, he just disappeared.
That's was that the last time she listened to the show?
Well, I was gonna say that the irony was, yeah, it was probably when she stopped listening. It was when Alfred left. So,
at least we know he was a draw to somebody.
Yeah.
Alfred left. She was like, you know what? I can't deal with these two knuckleheads on their own.
All right, I'm out. Yeah.
Yep.
SpongeBob
Insert
meme.
SpongeBob meme. Yeah. but real quick, Marcus, let's go around and I'm gonna hit you with some topics that have happened during the time mm-hmm. that you've been away and subsequently we've been away because like my schedule's been crazy too, especially this time of year with football picking up and doing the high school games and then doing the radio gigs.
I did listen to your most recent radio gig.
Yes, after the Cowboys-Redskins game.
Yeah, that was the day of a doctor's appointment. And
okay.
My philosophy is the person who drives the car controls the radio. And I was driving, and I was controlling the radio. And we listened to probably at least a good hour. And I think I told you on the chat, but like Redskins fans are just a different breed of hail to the Redskins. I'm like, what is this? Like, it's just a sports team. It's not a cult. You don't need to like.
Then you got your Cowboy fan over here. A Cowboy fan, mind you, people. For those that haven't heard the show, and I did. I posted the audio from the radio on the Patreon yesterday. So if anybody missed the show, they could check it out on the Patreon. But the Cowboy fan that was calling Dak Prescott and Uncle Tom.
Yes.
And that's from a Cowboy fan.
Well, what skin color Cowboy fan?
I mean, he probably looks a lot more like Troy Aikman than Dak Prescott.
All right, well, that explains it.
And that's the guy's gimmick, and it's funny because he's smart, he's knowledgeable, but he has a blind spot because I think he was a big Tony Romo fan. Mm-hmm. And he's never gotten over the transition. And so every time he calls in, I don't get what the big deal is about Dak Prescott. Why don't they give credit to the defense and the special teams? They're the ones winning the games. I'm like, really?
I mean, to be fair, Dak, the first year and a half, was it was okay. It was not what he was now.
I think that to me speaks more to your boy Kellen Moore than
he's really
Dak because like he put in this new offense and it's like he's got an offense and he's got weapons with mm-hmm. Cooper and Zeke and those guys and it's like yeah like this to me that's more of an indictment on Jason Garrett than on Dak Prescott.
Well, he's gonna save Jason Garrett's job indirectly.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but I guess that. I'm sure Kellen Moore's checks are clearing, so.
Yes.
But, yeah, so between the radio and the TV and stuff and then the regular 9-to-5, just been busy. Outside of that Royal rant I did a couple weeks ago, I haven't even really talked about a lot of these topics. So let's just hit some NFL stuff real quick, Marcus, and start with Andrew Luck. What did you think when you first heard that he retired?
Man, it's funny you mentioned his name because the way the news cycle goes now in sports, like I have not thought of Andrew Luck since that initial week. Obviously, I was surprised like everyone else, but sort of not surprised when you sort of sat and thought about, you know, the history of injuries, sort of Andrew's I mean, he's a Stanford guy. He's very smart. He came from some semblance of money. Like, he doesn't need football. Football
he's already made
some
a ton
more.
Of money.
He's
from,
made a ton of
NFL.
Money. So, in that sense, you know, if you knew the dude was hurting and his heart wasn't in it, then yeah, it made sense for him to walk away. So, I will say for the reaction, I thought the reaction was funny in the sense. Could you imagine if Andrew Luck was black?
Because
I felt like Andrew Luck got it pretty bad as a white quarterback for sort of people questioning his heart, his toughness, the fans who booed him off the field.
Yeah,
I couldn't. Could you imagine like if Jacoby Brissett was Andrew Luck?
No, I got even better for you, Marcus. What if Cam came out this year, like next week, and said, "You know what? I've been banged up. I can't do it anymore. I'm going to retire." Imagine the hate that would be thrown on Cam.
Well, I don't know, because I feel like in Carolina, they're probably rooting for Kyle Allen and Road Grant more than Cam anyways. So I don't know. I feel like they'd be like, oh, really? Cool. It's been nice. Thanks, MVP.
Good luck, nigger.
Yeah. I feel like they might have the opposite of – they'd be like, oh, okay. All right,
throw him a parade.
Yeah. Now, I think if Cam did that, at the same time, I think the issue was the timing of it. You know, if Luck
so
retired,
close to the start of the season.
Yeah, it was so close, but
messed up everybody's fantasy rosters.
Well, you know, OJ included. OJ was very upset about.
That's the world we live in now, Marcus, where an alleged double murderer is angry that Andrew Luck decided not to risk concussions or further physical damage, and OJ mad about his fantasy team.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when OJ cuts a player, he really cuts a player.
Cuts deep. So I am happy for Andrew.
Well, speaking of fantasy, it's funny because we played in week one of the Kings of Sport League. And that was the same week where young Simba was coming into the world, I think.
Yes, it was.
It was either the week after or the same week.
That first weekend,
I had a feeling, Marcus, like I almost threw the game for you, but then I was like, no, I won't disrespect young Simba by allowing his father to take a cheap victory, so I must defeat you.
I missed the draft, too, so I was...
Yeah, yep.
I was scrambling to put together a team.
Yeah, I think every, like... That was partly on me just because I was so busy. Like, I forgot about – like, I set up the league early this year because usually I wait late to set up the league, and your boy Franchise always emails me or says some passive-aggressive comment in the group chat. And so I made a point to start to, you know, renew the league early. But then I waited – like, it just slipped my mind, and it wasn't until, like, the last week of – or the second to last week of preseason, that I was like, oh, shit, I got to schedule the draft. And so I scheduled the draft, like, for the following week just to give everybody a little bit of time at least. But, yeah, I know Jamie missed the draft. I think it was me, Franchise, and, like, two other people in the draft. Franchise is drafting and talking shit the whole time.
Well, one of those deals where I have the points against for me is the highest so far. So I'm taking everyone's best L. You're playing the franchise this week, by the way, so good luck.
Yeah, I predicted the win, but we'll see. We'll see if the Yahoo Sports predictions are accurate this week. Marcus says, I'm not going to comment on that.
My name is Bennett.
Have we ever talked about it? I think we might have talked about it before, maybe a year or so back, but like how... How close are you to those people in the fantasy department?
I am.
So do they, like, it's because I think they've obviously got baseball, basketball, football, the big ones, but they've also got like the sort of the second tier, like the mid card, the jobber fantasy games. Like I think there's not that hockey is a jobber sport, but it is. Is on this show. They got like fantasy hockey. Do they still have fantasy racing? Fantasy NASCAR?
No, that's gone.
Okay, what about fantasy golf?
Golf is gone.
golf is gone. I think I did fantasy golf one year, and it was the only reason I wasn't the last person in the league was because I just picked Tiger.
You can play golf now through the daily fantasy game, so you can.
That's probably a better idea than doing a season long thing.
Yeah, it's a better experience because you're picking, I think, 5 or 6 golfers for the tournament.
Okay,
and then they all different point values, so it's I think it's a better. I mean, it's a lot asking someone to follow golf for the entire year. But if you're focusing, let's say, on the Masters and you want to bet, it's a better experience.
I mean, it's like we have the Kings of Sport Fantasy Baseball League, and it's like I still love fantasy baseball. But to me, even fantasy baseball can get like just the amount of games that you have to manage. Like it can get like that's why to me I think fantasy football is the best. Because you only have to worry about 16 weeks.
And not even that, 16 days. I mean, you're focusing just on that weekend. You're not focusing on, you know, nights during the week. You've set your roster and you're done. So,
yeah, because I use the autofill for the baseball every week just because it's like I remember it on Sunday, but by the time we get to Wednesday, I'm not going to have time to worry about if Craig Kimball's injured or – What's Acuna hitting this week? Like I don't have time for that.
Yeah, it's I'm in a daily fantasy baseball league that has a new lineup every day of the season. So tomorrow is round 182 of this daily fantasy baseball league, and there's only 6 people in it. And I'm not going to win, but. Yeah, it's a lot, you know. That's when you realize, oh yeah, there's baseball on every day for 6 months straight.
Yep.
And
yeah,
from March 28th.
The people that win, I think the people that win fantasy baseball markets, it's not who's the best manager, it's who has the most stamina.
Yep, who has the most time to like check on the stuff.
Who has the most time?
Yeah.
Who shows up? Who has the best attendance in the league? So another NFL topic, Marcus, that I'm sure you were caught wind of during your sabbatical is the saga of Antonio Brown, who for a brief time was your neighbor in California.
Yeah. Boy. He's had issues, and I'm hoping that, and once the sexual assault allegations came into midst, it sort of changed the narrative. But before that before that news was announced, it felt like there wasn't enough talk around AB and sort of his mental health and making sure like this dude was actually mentally fit to play football. It just felt like there were some warning signs there of like something was going on with him. But once the sexual assault charges came in the mix, it's hard to really say, oh, well, let's check on AB's mental health when you have all these other sort of outstanding stuff, you know, associated with you.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, he should not be playing football at the moment. For 2 reasons. 1, he needs to be cleared of, you know, these accusations. And 2, it just feels like he's just not mentally fit for that. And, you know, him going back to school at Central Michigan, maybe that will sort of help reset him mentally. But, you know, sort of the social media stuff is getting old in terms of him going after players. Today was Baker Mayfield. The other day was Eric Weddle.
What'd he say about Baker Mayfield?
Let's see. This is from ESPN. Antonio Brown jabbed back to Baker Mayfield over Twitter on Saturday. after the Cleveland Browns quarterback referenced Brown in an Instagram comment. Mayfield initially posted a photo of himself on Instagram from when he was at Oklahoma with the caption, quote, "Just some undersized walk-on, keep the same energy." Somebody responded, quote, "Win football games, that speaks louder than these AB-ish style posts." Mayfield answered with, "You're right. Let me call out my teammates and throw a fit about my helmet, then go freeze my feet off." And Brown responded by ripping Mayfield on Twitter. And Brown tweeted, "Should have never been drafted before Lamar Jackson. What a big scam." And he was responding to a tweet. Someone tweeted AB about Baker and said, "Never saw AB 84 get run down by an officer and tackled." And he tagged Baker Mayfield in. So,
you know what? I've been opposed to a lot of what Antonio Brown has said and done the last couple of months, but on that one, I kind of give him a pass. Baker shouldn't have been talking shit.
Yeah.
Like, Baker, you 1-2, you should be 0-3. Because you played played Marcus's terrible Jets team.
Not even the full strength Jets. Like,
with a fourth string quarterback.
Yeah. It says Brown also tweeted about Mayfield, quote, "Sorry ass Chico, keep rolling right. You ain't done nothing in this league. The internet only place you would ever talk to or about me. You know you get beat. Twit slice you up some humble pie," but later deleted the tweet. Maybe because it doesn't make any sense dramatically.
I love that in the midst of that trash talk, he actually had a valid football analysis right there. Like, Baker about does Lamar. Roll to the right too much.
Well, that too, yeah.
Like, stay in the pocket, Baker.
Yep.
There was the tweet. Didn't he tweet something about Bob that Tom Brady allegedly kind of got him to take down?
Mm-hmm.
Which stay on Twitter. I think you're right in the sense that there probably is something going on mentally, and we don't know. Like, there could be something chemical. It could be, like, you know, just damage from playing football, because we have seen that this game can take a toll on people mentally just from the amount of hits that you take to the head. But like you said, once the allegations came out, and not even, like, the first allegation, you're like, okay, you know, that's a he said, she said, let's go to court and figure it out. But the second one with the painter, where he was, like, texting her pictures of the kids, is like, yeah, okay, you got to go sit down for a while.
Yeah, I mean, and it was the follow-up text that got AB cut, I think, you know. It was Robert Klimko's story that sort of dove into the sort of retaliation that AB was trying to give to this the woman who alleged the assault, and it was just too much. And the Patriots were like, you know what? This is not what we signed up for, and we don't need you. Then that's the thing. They didn't need AB in the first place. They probably were a little selfish, a little greedy in terms of trying to stack on their roster. But, you know, to play one game, and that's probably going to be his last game. Well, I shouldn't say that, because the NFL is so fucked up that I'm sure once he gets cleared of this, if he does get cleared, a team will sign him. So I'm sure he'll be back at some point.
Yeah, I think this season is probably going to be a wash. Mm-hmm. But next year, you know, you've got AB out there who'll still be, what, 30, 31, 32?
Yeah.
Still, you know, with a little bit left in the tank. That I think somebody will be willing to take a risk, and that risk probably won't come with a high price tag.
Yeah, no, and nor should it, because he's nothing this season has sort of proven that he can handle sort of being in that spot.
Dudes with more egregious charges, not that this is anything to scoff Antonio Brown is being accused of, but we saw with your man Greg Hardy. that kept getting chance after chance until finally the league was like, nah, we good, bro. But he got opportunities. So if you're talented, somebody you until your issues overwhelm the talent. But as long as they can see that there's an upside that can help them win football games, somebody will look at him.
And I think it's important to note that probably the reason why he was sort of picked up by the Patriots in the first place was these are all been civil lawsuits. Mm-hmm. There have been no charges filed against him. I think it's a lot different when the law is in the middle of a situation. And I think even then, you know, if he was getting charged with sexual assault, I don't think the Patriots would have touched him. But a civil lawsuit, I mean, that's a bit of a, I don't say gray area, but I think there's more leniency from the team side to sort of take a chance on a player.
And finally, Marcus, in the world of the NFL, you know, you mentioned this young brother's name just a little while ago, but I don't know if you've noticed, Marcus, but we are living in the midst of what I like to call the black quarterback renaissance. In an era where Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback on the planet, where Lamar Jackson is outshining expectations, where Teddy Bridgewater is starting in New Orleans, we got black quarterbacks. Dak Prescott is running things in Dallas. Marcus Vandenberg, how does it feel to live in this age where all this melanin is out there performing on the football field?
I'm a little upset the undefeated sort of stole our gimmick, but I will address that with their people.
I was going to say, is our guy still over there? Mark?
Mark is there, but even better, Monique Jones. She's never listened to this.
So we could have had two Marks in the camp.
Mm-hmm. Monique works there, so I will address this with her via text.
I mean, if they want to use it, you know, they can use it. But, you know, credit, at least give us some credit.
You know, something. Come on.
It's black-on-black journalism crime.
Yes. So, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is out of this world. And the scary thing is he's only going to get better.
Yeah.
He's, I mean, you know, and he's easily the best quarterback in the league. He's probably the best football player in the league. The Chiefs are so much fun to watch.
Yeah. I had a hot take, Marcus, for the show on the radio, but we never got to it because we were so, you know, it was the day after the Redskins-Cowboys game, so we were pretty much wall-to-wall with that. But if we had time, we were going to get into Patrick Mahomes. And I had the take, and you could say this is being a prisoner of the moment, Marcus, because really the young man's only got a season and a half of experience under his belt. But I was going to tell the host that Patrick Mahomes, when it's all said and done, might end up being the best quarterback we've ever seen in our lifetime with the physical attributes as well as, you know, being able to throw out of the pocket. He might be, you know, what Aaron Rodgers was for a long time. He might be what Cam Newton was supposed to be before his body betrayed him. He might be the best quarterback talent-wise that we've ever seen.
He already has 60 touchdowns in his career. Yep. And that's basically in he had the one game in 2017, but he didn't throw a touchdown. So all of last year and three games this year. So it's, did you see the Troy Aikman stuff with him, with Mahomes?
No. What's Troy talking about?
So The Athletic tweeted, like, basically, Patrick Mahomes has one-third of Aikman's career touchdowns and only 8% of the games that Troy played. And didn't tag Troy. Wasn't trying to, like, take a direct shot at Troy. But Troy found it and was like, get back to me when Mahomes has won one-third of my titles or whatever. Which felt very insecure and very petty.
I think you would appreciate that, Marcus.
I would, but I'm like, what? I mean, it, you know, they weren't trying to take a attendant dig at Detroit. They were just trying to set a baseline of a established quarterback and, you know, a prior time. But greatest, I mean, the way the NFL has sort of shifted towards passing, I could see it. The interesting thing about Mahomes this year and even last year is he does not rely on his legs. I mean, he's definitely a pass first guy. I would, you know, he's definitely not Lamar Jackson. He's not even Deshaun Watson in terms of his legs. So,
you know, closest thing, like I would compare him to, he's got Steve Young's legs with Brett Favre's creativity. But he's not as interception prone as Brett Favre was.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot smarter with the football than Brett.
Yeah, I don't think he's throwing a pick this year.
The only team that's been able to quote unquote stop him was the Patriots. And even then that game went down to the wire.
Oh, that was the playoff game last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun game. So yeah, 3-0. They play the Lions this week. I'm trying to see if there's any interesting matchups on their schedule this year. There's a lot of bad football, Nate. By the way, we won't talk about your Falcons, but there are a lot of
I mean, you didn't enjoy that Redskins Bears game the other night.
No. Yeah, so their schedule is pretty soft. Lions, Colts, Texans should be fun. Broncos, Packers, Vikings, Titans, Chargers, the bye week, the Raiders. Here we go. At New England, December 8th. So that's probably their bit marquee matchup, the rematch. And then Broncos, yep. Bears and Chargers.
At most, like worst case scenario, I see four losses out of that bunch.
I see less than that. I mean, they could go.
Like I could see maybe because that Green Bay game is in Green Bay, right?
No, it's in Kansas City.
It's in Kansas City. Okay.
Yeah.
But I could definitely see, you know, the Patriots game maybe being an L. Green Bay, maybe, depending on if Aaron Rodgers is talking to his coach at that time.
I don't know. I mean, that's the only one I can see later. All right, they might lose, but maybe
yeah, like worst
at
case
Chicago?
Scenario, worst case scenario, I mean, you're talking maybe three losses.
Yeah, I mean, 13 wins should be a gimme for them.
Yeah. And then it's just a matter of whether they or the Patriots get home field during the playoffs.
Yeah, and this has been without Tyreek Hill, who's been hurt.
Yeah. And the pickup of Shady McCoy, like right before the season started.
And Damian Williams has been sort of hurt. I mean, he has been playing. He hasn't been great. So they have not been 100% at all.
Outside of Kelsey, it's just been, and maybe, you know, Sammy Watkins will show up like
Watkins
once.
Watkins had that one great game, yeah.
Yeah. He's good for like one great game out of every three games.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, outside of Travis Kelce, they've just been kind of plugging and playing guys in that system.
Yeah. But you mentioned Lamar Jackson. I am glad that he is sort of having his moment. And because there was a lot of talk last year about his ability at quarterback. And he's, you know, and even after the first game this year against the Dolphins, it was like, well, it's great and all, but it was Miami, so it doesn't really count. And, you know, since then, he struggled a bit against the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are pretty good, as you just mentioned. He looked good against the Cardinals. They play the Browns tomorrow, which would be really
There's fun. Another black quarterback, Kyler Murray.
Yes, Kyler in Arizona, who... there's a lot of talk about Kyler in terms of his size and his ability. And not to say he's been amazing, but he also hasn't been a bust. So
he did. He's been better than Marcus Mariota.
What happened to him?
I don't know. Like, I don't remember when the conversation used to be who's better, Marcus or Jameis. And now the answer is neither.
Yeah, I think maybe for Mariota, maybe Tennessee, it's not the best fit. Maybe he just needs. I would like to see Mariota in a different offense to see what he could do. Maybe in more of a spread offense with some weapons. So I'm not ready to write him off just yet, but as long as he's in Tennessee, he's not going to be a factor.
Who knows? Maybe he'll end up with your boy Gruden after the season.
Yeah. Raiders look bad. Derek Carr doesn't look good.
No.
He just doesn't.
And he was somebody who... Go ahead. I don't know if it's just injury that has caught up to him, but he's regressed over the last few seasons.
Carr?
Yeah.
He doesn't throw the ball down the field. He's just, you know... He's capped and checked down. And he'll complete passes, but he's not really, you know, throwing the ball anywhere. Let's see. He's Carr is 73.5% completion percentage. But he is averaging 7.1 yards per attempt, which is on the lower side. It's not super low. Like, Carson Wentz is lower, Kyler Murray is lower, but for example, Mahomes is 10.5, which is pretty ridiculous. That's like a first down per attempt, which is pretty nuts. So, but I mean, to be fair, for Carr's defense, the Raiders' offense is not. It's not great. Who's he throwing to?
Yeah, I mean, you lose AB before the season even starts. The receiving core wasn't that great even with Antonio Brown.
No, that was the thing. And that's not his fault, but the rest of the team has more issues than QB. Like, Derek Carr is not going to hurt them from winning games.
No. Also got to look at Gruden, because this is the guy that shipped Khalil Mack out of town, shipped Amari Cooper out of town.
Yeah.
So if you're not putting talent on the team, what are you going to expect? You know, the results are going to be what they are.
Leading receiver is Darren Waller, who is a Hard Knocks. Storyline. Followed by Tyrell Williams, the former Chargers receiver. Followed by Hunter Renfro from Clemson.
I didn't know he was still in the league.
No, he's a rookie. His first year.
Who am I thinking of? Wasn't there another Renfro?
In baseball.
I think there was a... Or maybe I'm thinking of... there was a tight end, Hunter...
What are the scrappy Hunter Henry?
Yeah, Hunter Henry.
Okay,
that's
Hunter
what
Henry,
I'm thinking
yeah,
of.
Yeah, he's a tight end.
Yeah, he's got a high motor.
Yes.
Last thing with the NFL, Marcus, before we take a break real quick. It has been announced that this year's Super Bowl in Miami will feature the amazing halftime show, the combination, this is when worlds collide, Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, Marcus Vandenberg. Is this what Colin Kaepernick knelt for so Jay-Z could give us this foolishness?
Why does it got to be foolishness?
You're actually excited for this halftime show?
Excited is probably too strong of a word. Am I offended by this? No. Listen, this is going to be better than insert country artists here.
Justin Timberlake that one year.
I'm Team Timberlake. I don't understand all the hate. So I was fine with JT.
But this is Miami. This should have been Trina, Trick Daddy, Uncle Luke.
I'm gonna withhold my comments about two of the three. look, the alternative would be what?
Performing at the Pepsi Super Bowl halftime, singing the song "You Don't Know Now, Nigga." Give it up for Trick Daddy.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to hear from the NFL announcer.
The alternative was what? You want Flo Rida?
Oh, I forgot about Flo Rida. Yeah, because Flo Rida's Miami, Pitbull's Miami. They can have the WrestleMania reunion with Flo Money, Pitbull, or Flo Rida, Pitbull, and Lunch Money. Doing Give Me the Green Light.
Flo Rida, who is currently, as we're recording this, performing at Hofstra University. So clearly he has peaked, and the Super Bowl would be a step down from him. From performing on Long Island on a Saturday afternoon.
I didn't know Hofstra had that Flo Rida money. You must be paying your alumni bills.
They do a fall festival every year. And the one year I did go, we got like Snoop Dogg and someone else. Oh, it was actually, yeah. it was worth my time to go out to Long Island. We happened to be in town.
This was in the 90s. So this was peak Snoop Dogg.
No, this was like 5-6 years ago.
Oh, I thought you were talking about when you were attending.
Oh no, this was after I graduated.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
But yeah, Flo Rida's performing the college circuit. so yeah, I am not offended by this lineup, and I think to be fair, I'm sure there will be other people added to this thing because that seems to be the new norm for Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Is not just one.
I can
artist,
easily
but
see
list- three or four.
Yeah, I think they'll have some guests. Like, I could see Lizzo finding her way on the stage, and she's the hot thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how many other people in that stadium, like, talking about they just took a DNA test?
What about having, like, an all-women lineup?
So you want to recreate the Moulin Rouge video with Lil' Kim and... Lil' Kim, Missy Elliott, Pink... And Maya? Yeah. Where's Maya been?
Yeah. Well, I'd rather have that than Pitbull or...
And have Fergie sing the national anthem?
Oh, let's not do that.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be a bad halftime show. It just feels like a very, very safe halftime show.
It's the Super Bowl. What do you people want? It's not Freaknik. It's the Super Bowl.
I mean,
white
Jay-Z
people are watching
was supposed
this show.
Jay-Z was supposed to change the culture, Marcus.
Remember when Jay-Z was canceled, guys? Is he still canceled? Have we moved on to Kanye? Is Kanye now canceled again?
Hey, Kanye's got a new album coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, I am terrified of that album.
It's supposed to be... Because I remember we actually did like a review one year. The year... what was the name of that? It's that album. It wasn't Yeezus. It was Life of Pablo.
Yes, Life of Pablo. I do like that album.
Life of Pablo. We did that one, and that was supposed to be the gospel record with cussing. But this one, apparently titled "Jesus Is King," is due out on Sunday. So we'll see if it's a bop or if it's blasphemy.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't think it's going to be a bad show, Marcus. It's just like I think my thinking was like we already knew Jay-Z was he's not a businessman, he's a businessman. So we knew he was going to work this deal with the NFL, but I at least thought we'd get a more hype halftime show than this. Hope.
I think we're discrediting J-Lo a little bit there.
Like, I want to see a Clips reunion at the Super Bowl.
It's the Super Bowl. This is what I don't get. Like, if the Jay-Z thing never came up in the mix, and let's just say the NFL was still deciding this thing, and they announced J-Lo and Shakira, it would be a totally different reaction.
I think you're right, because it makes sense. They're in Miami. It's a big Latino market. Let's get Shakira and J-Lo in there. But I think when you have Jay-Z there are expectations to the Roc Nation name, Marcus Vandenberg.
The expectations were it's not Adam Levine, it's not Maroon 5. Like,
if Beyonce doesn't show up, I'm going to have a problem with this halftime show, Marcus.
Well, there, if you want to go off the all-woman idea, you can have Beyonce come and do a song. would that please the people?
I think that would appease the people. If you got Shakira, J-Lo, Beyonce, and Lizzo, that's the halftime show.
My takeaway.
And then
from
you
got to
find a random white lady, like so the white people aren't offended. Taylor Swift can show up.
So listen, the last year was Maroon 5. Year before that was Justin Timberlake.
You liked that one. I didn't care for it too much.
But I'm talking about the initial, like, oh my God, X performing Super Bowl. Gaga was 2017. Like,
yeah.
There hasn't been anyone since Beyonce that hasn't garnered some internet backlash of like, oh.
When was Bruno? Because Bruno killed it that year he did the Super Bowl.
Bruno was.
Was he before Beyonce?
No, he was with Beyonce, so 2016.
Okay, so yeah, that might have been the last one I really enjoyed, him and Beyonce. Yeah, because yeah, that's what she did, Formation.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yes. So yeah, everyone after that, because I didn't like the Gaga halftime. Your boy JT was just, you know, he was all right. Levine, yeah.
But here's the thing. You still watched. You're going to watch regardless, so just shut up about it. I mean, it's just, I just don't understand the sort of fake, not that you're fake, but like the fake anger over something you're still going to watch and consume anyways. So just, you know, wait and see. It's very much like my philosophy on wrestling sometimes.
Mm.
Wait and see how it plays out, and then get upset. If you want to be upset after the performance when it's just Shakira and J-Lo, sure, be upset. But it's fucking September. And we're upset about a halftime show in February. Like, does that make any sense?
And maybe, Mark, or something, because, you know, again, I try to give Jay-Z the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he's running a Trojan horse mission here. So we get Shakira and we get J-Lo and they're doing their thing. And then halfway through the performance, Marcus, the lights go out, much like ECW. And then when they come up, instead of Sabu, it's Colin Kaepernick, and everybody on the stage is taking a knee, and Kaepernick recites a spoken word poem for the next 5 minutes.
Mm. Not sure how that would go over.
Just because I took a stand, you took the football out my hand. It ain't right. Yeah. It's just how the Hotep Nation behind him.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see, Mark. Like, I do think it is much ado about nothing. I just found it interesting that when the Jay-Z name was attached to it, how the expectations rose on this thing.
Which, that's on people for getting their hopes up because Jay-Z was attached. Forgetting that Jay-Z is now a mainstream pop artist. He's not,
yes.
He's not the Jay-Z of the block. Of him selling dope, like he's the Snoop Dogg of 2019. He's, you know, he's a safe rapper you can put on TV and white people can do their little dances to, and it's fine. you're getting your Jay-Z's confused here.
Yes, this is the kind of gentler Jay-Z.
Yes,
this is Are We There Yet, Ice Cube Jay-Z.
Pretty much.
This is Big Three Ice Cube Jay-Z. But yeah, that's going to do it for the A Block. We're going to take a quick break. Everybody watching the video version can just keep it locked right here. If you're listening to the audio version, we'll be back in a second with our first segment four in what feels like a month or two, Marcus.
Yes, it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute, so we had to come back with one that I'm sure will delight the audience. They probably heard the story, but we're going to give our take on it. So don't go anywhere. Stick and stay. We got more Kings of Sport right after this.
It was the 3rd of September. That day I'll always remember. Yes, I will. But bad things about him. Mama, I'm depending on you to tell me the truth.
Mama just hung her head and said, son,
Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
Yeah. What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
On the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we got to give you what you want. We got to give you what you need. We have to give you what you have been deprived of for the past month of change. And that is, of course, segment four, our cornucopia of crazy, our repertoire of ratchetness. And this is where we look at stories from the world of sports, pop culture, or just anything in the news and bring it to you. And so Marcus Vandenberg, fresh off of his little time off, his sabbatical, if you will, is back, and he's returned just in time to talk about our favorite topic, and that is white people going crazy. And, you know, usually we'll go to Florida for a story like these, but this is a story that takes place in Marcus's own backyard. So, Marcus, the floor is yours, and let the people know who we're talking about this week.
Dateline Eagle Rock, California, which is a suburb of Los Angeles, not a city that you would think of being as a racist town, but here we are. It's 2019. This woman, Heather Lynn Patton, is her name, and we should publicize her name because she's a piece of shit.
Just make sure we're getting the right one.
Yes. She was caught on video outside of CVS, and she went on a tirade where she was spewing the N-word.
And, with the hard R.
Hard, the hardest of the R's. And this all seemed like it was a unprovoked incident with a black customer that sort of sparked it off. And, you know, 2019, of course, cameras are rolling, and this woman is filming Heather using this language, and just, you know, I think the line of the video was, quote, "I would kill a nigger, but the law says I can't kill the niggers, which, if the law didn't say I couldn't kill the niggers, they'd be all dead.
That's a dubious claim at best, Heather.
Yeah.
I don't think you could kill all of them.
Isn't that like a terrorist threat? Shouldn't that be like another charge? Shouldn't she be arrested for this?
Yeah. For those that haven't seen the video, pause the podcast right now.
Yes.
And look up CVS.
CVS. Yeah. Actually, don't type that in. Don't just type in CVS incident.
Yes, type CVS incident. You don't want to have
that was a
CVS
test.
Nigger
We're
in your search
you.
Bar.
Yeah, no.
And just watch the video and then get back to us. Because, yeah, I think there are two points in this video, Marcus, that are like you couldn't script this better. Because they're the first – when the video starts – not only is she saying nigger, but she's like jumping up and down like Yosemite Sam.
Yes.
Like nigger, nigger, nigger. That's the first part. But then the second part is when she walks outside, she's still carrying on, and the lady still, the black woman who was being verbally assaulted is still filming her on the cell phone. There's some random white guy who just walking to CVS, yeah. You know, maybe picking picking up some Icy Hot or you know, a Powerade or something, and he walks past all this, and he's like, "Goodness, lady, why don't you take a break?"
Yeah,
just the like even the white guy is just like,
I just want you to know I'm not a part of this.
Yes, I condone this behavior. The best part was she was like showing off her license plate.
Yeah,
like, she wanted to be known of who this woman was, and she after the video, she gets in the car and she drives off the wrong side of the street. So she takes off and now becomes a traffic, you know, liability as well.
And it's crazy because she went like this blew up immediately. Like the very next day, she was the donkey of the day on the Breakfast Club. So, you know, Charlamagne got into her. And her Instagram, she turned her Instagram private. And like the only thing you see on there is the little heading on the Instagram page. And it's basically like, I was on drugs. I don't need people harassing me. This is not who I am. I just want everybody to like eat everybody. And it's like, no, it's too late, lady.
I was on drugs.
No, she didn't even say I was on drugs. She said I was drunk. And Marcus, I've been drunk a time or two in my life. And never, even in my drunkest of drunks, have I just started spitting out racial epithets at people.
Not at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
At a CVS.
At a CVS. Yeah.
Maybe at a Walgreens, but not at a CVS.
This is from KTLA out here. A man who identified himself as her neighbor of 9 years in Eagle Rock told KTLA the woman's name is Heather Patton and that she has a history of racist outbursts and erratic behavior. Quote, we had to file restraining orders against her and her husband for wanting to threaten us, to assault us. They were yelling racial slurs, said the man who asked to be only identified as Tony the whistleblower.
There's a lot added, of that going on these days.
He added that he and his mother are of Italian descent, and Patton has told them to go back to their country, and this is not a place for them.
Like, you know, you're super racist when in 2019 you're mad at Italians. Like, yeah, I thought all that was done in the 80s.
Yeah.
Why don't you go back home, Mario? Like, excuse me?
Tony provided security camera footage of the woman, including one video where she threatens to slit someone's throat. Another video appears to show a man and a woman engaged in a physical struggle and yelling at one another in the middle of the street. So, yeah.
It's crazy because it's like as soon as this video came out, it went viral and everybody saw the license plate. And the unfortunate thing is she's not the only Heather Patton in L.A., Marcus Vandenberg.
Oh, no. There's another one?
Yes, there's one Heather, because she's Heather L. Patton. There was a Heather S. Patton and then a Heather M. Patton. And Heather M. Patton works at, Kaiser Permanente?
Kaiser Permanente, yeah.
Okay, so she works at the hospital, and she's like one of the head nurses, I guess. And so Black Twitter was vigilant.
Oh, boy.
But they didn't quite get all the information.
Well,
and
that,
so
that's
they
that
went
Black
in.
Twitter does.
Yes, we are vigilant, but not always informed.
Yes.
And they went in on Heather M. Patton, including like bombarding the Kaiser Permanente Twitter page. And finally, they had to come out and be like, we are equally appalled at this woman's outburst, but this is not the Heather Patton that works here. This is a completely different person. Could you please leave Ms. Patton alone?
Why? I had Twitter, man. Twitter's the worst.
Like, I want to know how that lady's day went. Like, you know, she's just going to work, helping people at the hospital. All of a sudden, just her phone is probably blowing up all day.
Yeah. Patricia Arquette, who, shout out to the Unicorns, says the woman worked with her on the NBC series Medium for 2 seasons and says, one of her friends from the set told her, quote, this is really sad. Holy shit. Wow, I'm actually shaking. This was not who she was at all. It's like I'm watching a person that has completely come undone.
Yeah, that's the other piece of the story, Marcus. Yeah, she's a wardrobe designer.
She was. She thought.
Yeah, she lost her job. But the twist is the black woman that she had originally got into it with at CVS also is a costume designer.
Oh, it's very LA.
And so she was like, yeah, like, I don't, like, there's a chance if this lady, you know, is continuing to work in the business, we can run into each other. You know, this is a weird situation that I don't want to be a part of. But fortunately, social media took care of that. And Heather M. Patton, or not Heather M. Patton.
Lynn.
Heather L. Patton.
Yes.
is no longer employed because, yeah, that would have been uncomfortable.
A little bit.
Like, what if she was working on the set of Empire? Like, how would that go? I'm tired of putting clothes on all these niggers. And then Terrence Howard walks in. See, you got to understand, when the way the world is shaped and the flowers and the trees bloom.
This is the last season
What's
of that
going
show,
on
right?
in your state, Marcus? What's going on in Hollywood?
It's a big state. The state's very big.
West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, it's legal out here, so we got issues.
Oh, yeah, that's a crazy story. And again, it just shows you, I don't know. I don't know if this is part of the trickle-down effect of living in Trump world, where because one guy can get away with being openly racist and misogynistic, it makes other people think they can do that. But mm-hmm. the difference is one guy is the president, at least in name, and he's protected by a system, whereas you just a costume designer. We can get you up out of here.
And also, I mean, not that we know of, but Trump is also not going down the street yelling nigger. I mean, he might have in the past. He might have on camera or you know, on tapes that haven't been released yet, but
yes,
allegedly. But he's not doing it now. so I do think this is some of the trickle-down effect of the current climate of this country. And just, I mean, this country is, I would say, not in the best of shape at the moment. It's only going to get worse as we get closer to the election next November. I think either, you know, win or lose with Trump, I think it's going to take some time to sort of repair itself. But I can't even go to Canada anymore because Justin Trudeau is up here acting like an asshole. So I don't know where I'm going to go.
Yeah, I guess you got to go to Mexico, but then there's no guarantee you can get back.
I know. I can jump the wall. Like, the wall
we're not sure
easy.
If he's black or Mexican. Might be MS-13.
Dominican. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrong country.
We don't know what you are, so we're just going to keep you here in this cage until we can figure it all out.
Yeah.
He says it works for Yahoo, but that might just be MS-13 code.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about that video, Marcus. Would it have been better or worse if instead of using the N-word, she said, like, she used old-timey racial slurs, like jigaboo or porch monkey?
Ooh.
A spook.
Spook?
I hate jigaboos!
Octomaroon. Basically, if she reenacted the scene from Jungle Fever, but at
CVS, yes,
I would find that hilarious.
Yeah, because then she could have used the alibi. She was just recreating a scene.
I was method acting. I was just, you know,
right.
Tapping into my film, my film studies.
Your high yellow nappy hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, yeah, anybody out there on the Trump campaign that needs a wardrobe designer, there's one available out there.
Is this where we get a think piece about us reclaiming the word nigger from white people?
I mean, if
Do we want the word back?
Is Bill Cosby still locked up?
He is.
Okay, because I was going to say, if Bill was on these streets, he might get up there and talk. See, this is why we shouldn't use the word. pull up your pants while you're at it. Mm-hmm. Like, pull up your pants, sir.
let's see if he's still tweeting from jail.
Yeah, Bill Cosby's on Twitter. OJ's on Twitter.
Hold up. His Twitter bio says, my first TV concert special in 30 years, Far From Finish, debuted on Comedy Central November 23rd. Buy the DVD. Oh, okay, maybe this is last year.
That's old. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I was going to say, wait a second. This Comedy Central.
Yeah, because I want to say, yeah, matter of fact, that might be 2 years ago, because that was like right before all the big allegations came out.
All right, I was going to say, wait a second.
So he just never updated his Twitter bio.
Yes.
Well, and it was I'll give the man credit. It was a funny special, but that was before all the stuff came out, and then no one was laughing.
The latest tweet was a retweet from Dr. Ben Chavis, who visited Bill Cosby in prison this week.
Okay.
Mass incarceration of Black Americans continues unabated across America. Cosby's mind and spirit are strong. Even though he is physically blind, his insights are clear, intelligent, and transformative. God bless.
Okay, first of all, I didn't know Bill Cosby was blind.
Didn't either.
Second of all, I like how Bill Cosby is now trying to become this criminal justice system reform advocate.
Yes.
Now that he's locked up.
Oh, man.
You know, they should really do something about these conditions for these prisoners.
There's
being in jail has given me new perspective.
There's gotta be other prisoners that we can sort of... Oh, here we go. So this all because of Roland Martin, who, on his show this week, yesterday actually, he talked about the 1 year anniversary of Cosby being in prison. And
it's been a year. Wow.
I know. He interviewed Bill Cosby's spokesperson, Andrew Wyatt. And I'm not going to actually listen to this interview, but that's how the tweet came up in the first place.
Okay.
So, what a job. I mean, could you find another client, maybe?
I mean, to be fair, it's probably an easy gig because he really doesn't have a lot to say right now.
Do you think he has another client?
Maybe he can represent Heather Lynn Patton.
Oh. You joke. Not about that, but I Google his name, and what pops up? Quote, R. Kelly is about to hire Bill Cosby's crisis manager, Andrew Wyatt. Oh, man.
Hey, it's work, man. It's a living.
The jet's clear, I guess.
Maybe they'll lock him up in the same cell as Bill, and that'll be a new reality show.
Oh,
Robert and Bill.
Cosby is also facing a $2.75 million legal bill from his sexual assault battle.
Damn. You'd think he would have had that all taken care of.
Yeah. Cosby spokesman Andrew White isn't commenting on the fee dispute. But he says the actor is holding up well in a suburban Philadelphia prison, mentoring other inmates as he marks a year in prison Wednesday. Could you imagine getting mentored by Bill Cosby in prison? You cut out there. What'd you say?
There you go. Yeah, you cut out for a second too, man. Maybe Bill Cosby's jamming the signal.
Oh, yeah, I was saying, could you imagine being mentored by Bill Cosby in prison?
He's just walking around telling the inmates to pick up their pants.
Yeah.
See, that's the type of thing that got you here in the first place, dog.
If you were, like, someone of our age, that would be surreal. A, to be in prison, but then B, to have, like, Bill Cosby
Yeah.
Like if you're you know under 30 and didn't grow up with the Cosby Show, it's you know who's his old man who can't see allegedly. What's he doing here? But, wow. I mean,
just imagine him giving fatherly advice to the inmates. Sit down here, son. I'm gonna tell you what I told Theo when he came in wearing the Gordon Guard Trail shirt.
Did they serve Jell-O in prison?
I'm sure somebody's had to do it, even as a joke, while he's been there.
Just put on his. You can't see. Just put on his tray. I mean, if he's blind, it doesn't matter now.
I wonder if he really is blind. I'm sure his vision's gotten worse.
Oh, I'm sure his vision. Yeah, but to call him straight up blind, I don't know.
I wonder, Marcus. Because I think about that. You know, the older I get, like, would it be better to like have been born blind or to lose your sight? Do you know what I'm saying? Because if you're born blind, obviously that's a setback and something you have to overcome. But you've been in that state your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you can see and then you lose your vision slowly over time. It's something being taken away.
I'd rather lose my vision over time.
Mm.
The idea of not being able to see anything ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that would just change your perspective on the world, period.
You can always, you know, go to Stevie Wonder route and get those great Super Bowl tickets that could be better served given to somebody else. But
yeah, well, you can just live your life like Stevie and live the gimmick. No, I'm kidding, Stevie. I'm kidding.
You and Bomani Jones out here perpetrating that lie on the people.
Hashtag Stevie ain't blind.
That would be the greatest work in the history of work.
Oh man, Stevie, could you imagine?
See this whole time
on his deathbed. I got you.
I mean, to be fair, he did do that commercial. They had the commercial back in the day with Stevie and Ray Charles talking about don't drive drunk. So one of the two of them had to be able to see how to drive.
Yeah, well, it was Stevie. Come on. Listen to his music. Songs in the Key of Life. Listen, go back and listen to his albums. He saw something at some point.
Let's see. I think that's going to do it for this week, Marcus, because Skype is trying to act up.
Yes.
Skype's trying to be funny. So let the people know, Marcus, where they can find you on social media. And now that the news is out, send you congratulatory notes. Or maybe we got some listeners who are fathers out there who might have some advice for you.
Yes. If you have any advice for dealing with a infant yelling in your face, let me know. Social media, Marco Will, MarcoWill.
And you can find me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK. Got a new episode of the Rocky Maivia Picture Show up on Post Wrestling. Also did a cafe hangout with John and Way this week where we talked about AEW and Impact Wrestling with the new TV deals as well as Fox. Airing SmackDown starting this Friday. So you can check that out. And who knows, I might be on the radio again sometime in the near future. So I'll keep y'all up to date on that. Follow the show on Twitter, KOS_POD, CosPod on Twitter, Facebook, facebook.com/KingsOfSport. Let's see, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, that's where you'll find us. So that's going to be it.
One more thing.
I don't know when. Yeah.
You mentioned SmackDown. I'm going to SmackDown Friday.
Oh, for the debut?
Yeah. Are you more excited about AEW on Wednesday or SmackDown on Friday?
SmackDown. To me, SmackDown is number one, AEW two,
NXT. The first episode. No, the first three. One. This week.
Yeah, SmackDown. Just because really? I think it's the biggest stage of all of the shows. Whether you're talking about NXT on USA or AEW mm-hmm. on TNT, this is SmackDown on Big Fox. So I think they're going to pull out all the stops for this show. So I think that's the one I'm most intrigued for. Plus, I want to see what they do with Brock and Kofi, how they handle that.
Well, I don't think you're going to like how they handle that, but.
I don't either. I just hope it's not like a 3-minute match.
Just give him 10 minutes, please. Just let him go out like a man. Don't make him go like a punk.
Oh, what if Brock has a new manager? Not only will he have your boy Heyman in his corner, but since they're going to be out in L.A., Kofi, I just want my new advocate Heather to tell you something. You're going to lose, nigga.
Oh man.
There's a lot of interesting wrestling stuff going on in the next week or so. So we'll definitely talk about that next time we get on the mics. Don't know when that'll be.
Maybe next week. We'll see.
Maybe next week, but like we're not putting anything in stone. Just can you know, we'll show up when we do.
Yes.
So that's gonna do it for this week's episode. Thanks for checking out the program. Welcome back to Marcus, and again, congratulations.
Thank you
on the birth of young Simba. You can check out the show on all those aforementioned platforms, as well as the Patreon. The Patreon's got a new episode of the 22 and Twin Up, as well as the radio broadcast that I did a couple weeks ago. So that's going to do it. We'll be back. We'll be back when we're back for an edition, all new edition of the World's Most Dangerous Sports Show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. I think I've come up with a name for Heather L. Patton, Marcus.
What's that?
Unemployed. I was going to go with like a Drugstore Debbie, but I think I like the sound of Unemployed better.
Drugstore Debbie's pretty good too.
Because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah! I'm on a new level.